Okay, welcome to A Course in Miracles. One of the things I really love about A Course in Miracles and about each of you is that you come to this meeting expecting A Course in Miracles. All right, it's not social hour. You guys each know this book, and you run across some really powerful passages. And I think you've come here. I think you joined this meeting because you want to consume this. You want to own this. You want to awaken through this A Course in Miracles. I love that. I love that about you. I love that about my life and my path. I love that about this book and about this character named Jesus. I was raised Catholic, but I was a kid. And it was just this whole Jesus thing was just some kind of a story. It wasn't until A Course in Miracles that it got personal. It wasn't until A Course in Miracles where I had to admit there is a Jesus. I can't say exactly, precisely what a Jesus is, but man, it's there. It is love, and it's reaching across the eternal domain into the limited domain where I think I am. And this love is as a hand reaching out and saying, come, 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 take my hand with this book. No doubt. No doubt. Every time I extend myself a little further and I put my hand the other way, I say, okay, okay. Oh, my heart gets lit. I get reborn. I really get reborn. Is that a holy instant? I think so. Being where your mind becomes so refreshed, you can call it being reborn. Perspective changes. I think that's a holy instant. When I reach back for Jesus' hand, I feel that. When I go, I think the word is trust. When I go into trust and I find that something connects in me, something connects in me with something larger than me and the world. Yeah, that's a holy instant. A little awakening occurs. I never quite go back from these moments when I allow myself to really open up and be adjusted. So I love that about the book. I love it about Jesus. Ostensibly, that's the name given by the intelligence that came through Helen that got into my hands. We're speaking for Jesus when we read this book. Each of you have said, I'm coming home. I'm coming home, each of you. Now that you've started this journey, if you're anything like what I've experienced, where your heart is and your mind is connected now and lit up to something beyond the body, there's no turning back. Awakening has begun. This is your life. It's not dress rehearsal, and you're not actually hoping anymore. You're actually receiving. You're not actually hoping anymore. You're actually receiving. And I say that with confidence because you come back to these meetings. This book has painted a path that you recognize you can walk. So, thank you. Thank you, each of you, for walking this with me. And thank you for embarking on this text paragraph with me. There's some really, really, there's some gifts here. You know, a lot of teachers and counselors, and I think even in the psychology profession, you're not supposed to offer too strong of advice. You really want the person to discover on their own their path. You don't want to be, you don't want your opinion to be what they're following. You want them to discover the truth. And you would help. A Course in Miracles is not really written that way, it completely isolated. It actually offers the truth with a couple of hard stances. Yes, it says you have to do this. The truth is in you, and in fact, the truth is you. So I really can't teach you anything the book says. But I can help you remove the blocks that you've placed. And it does it sometimes pretty radically, pretty strong statements. And I love that about the book, and I trust the book. And I know each of you do too. Let's bring this thing alive tonight. Let's open up this book and open up this paragraph and open up these sentences and lay them out. And each of us will come forth, shine our light on these words to make it the others, make it easier for the others to receive the gift of freedom. The gift of the return of your creative, playful mind. Your creative, playful, eternally dancing mind. This is what it means to come home. To come home to God. To come home to the truth of what you actually are. Let's do it. Turn to page 473. 473. Let's go to paragraph 8.
Andrew?
Yes, sir.
I apologize for interrupting. I'm still in New Jersey.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I got you. Chapter 22, section 2.
22 to paragraph 8.
You got it.
Thank you.
You are welcome.
I'm sorry, what page again?
Sure, page 473. It's such a luxury for us to go to a single page and look at a single paragraph. I mean, all the other pages and all the other paragraphs, and this isn't my favorite. I'll admit, this paragraph's not my favorite, but it's amazing. But boy, we're going to bring something out of it tonight. There's so many wonderful things in this book. It's just a celebration. I mean, really? Have we crossed dimensions a bit? That this book, we keep studying the same book. Did you know that? Over and over and over for years. For years. The same book. Well, I don't have any other books that I do that with. This is kind of some kind of a gift, crossing dimensions. That this has entered our lives. This is a hand reaching out to you, and you can take it. You can reach back. It turns out you must reach back because of what you actually are. Nothing can move you. Nothing can actually give you thoughts because of what you actually are. This is to be celebrated. Okay, Luann. Paragraph 8, please. And I guess I'll get your mute if you can beat me. Okay, go for it.
There is no part of heaven you can take and weave into illusions. Nor is there one illusion you can enter heaven with. A savior cannot be a judge, nor mercy condemnation. And vision cannot damn, but only bless. Whose function is to save will save. How he will do it is beyond your understanding, but when must be your choice. For time you made and time you can command. You are no more a slave to time than to the world you made.
So, it's the binary nature. I guess It's good news and bad news, because that first sentence, there's no part of heaven you can take and weave into illusions. You're addicted to illusions. Some of your favorite things are illusions. And he's saying there's no part of heaven you can weave into anything in the world, anything you can see. That's kind of harsh. It's kind of harsh, but it's not an attack on what you have made. It's not an attack. It just means that they're not heaven. Things of this world, other bodies, your own body, your mind, beautiful art here. None of this is a problem, and none of this has to go away ever. But you do need to have a shift in perception about what it is, and most importantly, about what you are. That's the harsh part about it. The good part is that there's no compromise. The good part is there's no compromise. There's not one bit of the illusion takes on reality. That means you don't have to look for truth here, folks. You don't have to look and then find truth in form. You must find truth in you. You must find truth in a corrected relationship that you have with form. You have a false relationship with form that has you believing you are the form. You are the dream that you made. A miracle is a correction. Forgiveness is a further correction. Salvation is correction. Atonement is correction. Holy instant of celebration. There's no part of heaven you can take and weave into illusions, nor is there one illusion you can enter heaven with. Is that obvious? Anybody have any questions about that, or should we just move forward?
It wouldn't be heaven if we could.
Ross?
Well, yeah, just a comment. It's just that you know, it's 100%. I mean, just getting part of it, you're either awake or you're not. You know, so thinking you're making progress is almost fooling yourself, because it's now. It always has to be now. So the thing is, yeah, you can work on getting it right. Yeah, you can work on eliminating your blocks to the awareness of love's presence. But ultimately, it's like, no, you have to give all of them up. You can't keep one and just say, well, yeah, but I'm still working on it. You know, I know Jesus will wait. You know, someday I'll get there. Well, no, you know, you have to string those holy instants together and make them unbroken. That's the thing that, to me, is like, well, okay, someday I'm just going to jump. You know, like I use that story of Eckhart Tolle. He talks about signposts pointing to the edge of the cliff. Well, someday you got to jump. Otherwise, you're just reading signposts.
Yeah.
You're just collecting them. So,
yeah.
And I know that. And, I guess I have things holding me back because I'm not jumping.
Well,
I don't think we would have to be here if we had jumped.
Well,
spiritual teachers seem to live in oneness.
You make the jump, but you don't make the jump with your body, and so there's no outward evidence that one has jumped.
Right.
The Course says that you can stay, you most won't. You will not have much reason to continue to rehearse a dream that's over. It says you're rehearsing a dream that's over. The Course says this. Wow. Boy, what a waste. But yet, that's lesson 158, in case you want to really dig into that craziness.
And heaven is knowledge, correct?
Yes, heaven is knowledge.
So it doesn't mean you go anywhere.
Yes.
It's just that you're in knowledge.
Very good, Ross.
You leave your body.
Very good, Ross.
So these spiritual teachers that I've met, you know, they live in oneness. They still have, apparently have bodies. They just don't believe in this world that much.
They don't believe in this world that much. Very good. That's right.
The course does say that there's some external observable change after, and that is your forehead is more serene, your eyes are more smiling, whatever. Like
that's lesson 155.
Right.
Yeah, that's a sweet paragraph. We can go read that.
If you're peaceful enough to stop and look and see that, most people are just going to walk right by them.
Most people are going to walk right by them. Some people will pick up on it, though.
Yes.
And those that do and haven't made the same jump that you have will crave what it is you've found.
And those who have not made any awakening efforts, have had no miracles, they will think that you're just a bastard just like they are.
They believe that the universe is filled with bastards just like themselves.
Exactly. Yeah, Anthony DeMello, one of my favorite spiritual guys, he says, you know, I realize I'm an ass. He was looking at his self and his efforts and his ego. But you're an ass also. He said, you know, in a way of equivocating the two levels.
Yeah.
Turn to page 291 in your workbook. 291 in your workbook. This fits kind of nicely with, thank you, Timothy, you inspired to take us there. This is kind of works well with what we're going to learn tonight. So, you know, yeah, let's take this in because it works really nicely. Ross, when you get there, I'll get your mute. When you get there, would you start reading for us lesson 155. This is on page 291. And, you know, I think we read the whole thing. This is really appropriate for tonight.
I will step back and let him lead the way. There is a way of living in the world that is not here, although it seems to be. You do not change appearance, though you smile more frequently. Your forehead is serene, your eyes are quiet, and the ones who walk the world as you do recognize their own. Yet those who have not yet perceived the way will recognize you also and believe that you are like them as you were before.
Jacqueline, I got your mute. Would you read for us paragraph 2?
The world is an illusion. Those who choose to come to it are seeking for a place where they can be illusions and avoid their own reality. Yet when they find their own reality is even here, then they step back and let it lead the way.
That's perfect. That's perfect. You read it perfectly. Look at that word illusions that she read. The illusions, remember, illusions, it's not that they don't exist. It's that an illusion is something that is not as it appears to be.
Thank you.
Okay, Jacqueline, please continue.
What other choice is really theirs to make? To let illusions walk ahead of truth is madness. But to let illusions sink behind the truth and let the truth stand forth as what it is merely sanity.
Yes. Deborah, would you give us the next paragraph? I got your mute.
This is the simple choice we make today. The mad illusion will remain a while in evidence for those to look upon who chose to come and have not yet rejoiced to find they were mistaken in their choice. I'd like to read all that again.
I wish you would. And as you do, I would like you to carry with you the idea of compassion. That compassion might be born as you look on others who have not yet made the choice for clarity, as you have to receive love, as you have to awaken, as you have. Please, Deborah, start over. You bet.
This is the simple choice we make today. The mad illusion will remain a while in evidence for those to look upon who chose to come and have not yet rejoiced to find they were mistaken in their choice. They cannot learn directly from the truth because they have denied that it is so. And so they need a teacher who perceives their madness, but who still can look beyond illusion to the simple truth in them.
Beautiful. Oh, it's a beautiful paragraph. You know what, Albert, would you please read that same paragraph so Deborah can just listen in?
Okay. This is the simple choice we make today. The mad illusion will remain a while in evidence for those to look upon who choose to come and have not yet rejoiced to find they were mistaken in their choice. They cannot learn directly from the truth because they have denied that it is so. And so they need a teacher who perceives their madness, but who still can look beyond illusion to the simple truth in them.
Oh, beautiful. A teacher who can still perceive the madness, but look beyond the illusion to the simple truth in them. Ooh, that means you're not abandoned. That means you don't have to suddenly learn French. Quick. Nobody gets out who doesn't learn French or to say the alphabet backwards. Nothing like that. No gymnastics. You have the Holy Spirit that will translate and find the truth in your illusory, what you think is your illusory mind. There's still a truth behind appearances that are false appearances. This is really good news. That means that it's closer to you than you think. Don, I got your mute. Would you read for us paragraph 4?
If truth demanded they give up the world, it would appear to them as if it asked the sacrifice of something that is real. Many have chosen to renounce the world while still believing its reality, and they have suffered from a sense of loss and have not been released accordingly.
Wait a minute. Hold on, Don. We're not going to come back over this tonight, so I'm just going to interrupt a few times where I think it's necessary. And what you've read is so powerful right there. So if truth demanded they give up the world, it would appear to them as if they were asked to sacrifice something that's real. Many have chosen to renounce the world, while still believing the world's reality. That's a lie that will bring chaos. So this Course in Miracles stuff really means what it says. It's really for you to ask the hard questions of this book. When it says there is no world, and yet you're still hungry, boy, I think you should take that conundrum into meditation and have Jesus, the Holy Spirit, your higher mind, whatever you can afford, to weigh in and reconcile appearances with the truth. Because the big question remains, are you willing to look at what you denied because it is the truth? That would mean walk. You'd walk on the other side. You let go of the seeming reality of appearances, even your own self. Have you ever tried to realize that you don't actually have a name? Or if you do, you don't know what it is. The name that you carry around in your driver's license was made up, sometimes in a hurry. Does this kid have a name? Yes. Call him. What's your name? I'm Dr. Andrew. Call him Andrew.
Is that down to you?
And I'm walking around like that. No. It's, you know, but I'm just saying that your name was made up.
I get it.
So, boy, wouldn't it be the only way to freedom is to actually see through the illusion, not to know this world is not real, to know the world is an illusion, that it's not true. This is what you should be reaching for with your mind at this stage with your Course in Miracles, to be getting that glimpse that says, yes, I see it, but I see it with my body's eyes, which were meant to see it. And my mind now, I know my mind does not look upon the world. If I am not a body, I don't have eyes. Whatever that Jesus is talking to that doesn't have a body does not see the world as your eyes do, as your body does. The Course is calling you to use separation specifically in the only proper use. You separate yourself from your ego, from this illusion of you being a body. Not for a long period of time, because time's an illusion, so don't worry about that. Just an instant will do. You will never come back from that instant fully. You'll continue perhaps to walk around in the body, but you'll be shifted. And a little more free. And a little more tolerant of those who have not yet walked the bridge as you have. Seen the other side, or glimpsed and even know there is a bridge. Okay, please continue, Don.
And they have suffered from a sense of loss and have not been released accordingly. Others have chosen nothing but the world, and they have suffered from a sense of loss still deeper, which they did not understand.
Yes.
I really related to this as I, just before you jumped in, as I was reading, I just identified myself with that. You know, nice. that part of, many have chosen to renounce the world while still believing its reality.
Yeah.
And have not been released accordingly.
Yeah.
If I may tell a little story.
Sure.
About a week ago, in kind of a twilight awareness, you know, having been asleep in the morning and then waking up, there's that little period in between being fully alert. And I spontaneously, I don't recall what preceded this spontaneous question, and I just said, what am I?
Yeah.
Now, I think the response was literally an image of Elvis Presley. And I was 10 years old about when I discovered Elvis Presley. And I idolized him. I mean, I idolized him. So I was real curious, actually. You know, I thought, oh, well, that's obviously, I'm not Elvis Presley. Maybe some symbol of what I took on, which I think I did. You know, I think that was a secret dream for me, to be Elvis Presley. And behaviors that, and attitudes and that came out of that. And, but it seemed to me, you know, that was my ego's, I guess all our egos are awake while we're sleeping. They're informing me all the time, my ego is. And I guess that ego was on the job right there. I don't think that's Holy Spirit. Maybe Holy Spirit's offering up that image for like some insight on my part, you know, but certainly not to tell me what I really am.
You can take that image to the ego or to the Holy Spirit. That's the kind of choice that you make.
Okay.
As a spiritual seeker.
Okay. So take it to the Holy Spirit.
Take that same image to the Holy Spirit. There is nothing beyond translation for the Holy Spirit. Nothing the Holy Spirit can translate.
Thank you so much, Anthony.
Go for it, Dawn.
So much, Andrew. Yeah. Thank you. It was a gift.
Yeah, go for it. Go receive that gift now from the right mind.
Okay.
You bet. Oh, yeah, that sounds fun.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Timothy, I will get your mute if you would read for us paragraph 5.
Between these paths, there is another road that leads away from loss of every kind. For sacrifice and deprivation, both are quickly left behind. This is the way appointed for you now. You walk this path as others walk, nor do you seem to be distinct from them, although you are indeed. Thus can you serve them while you serve yourself and set their footsteps on the way that God has opened up to you and them through you.
You can be helpful. You can be helpful. Jason, you reading tonight? Are you there? Okay, we'll get him when he gets back. Back to you, Luann. I'll get your mute. Would you give us paragraph 6, please?
Yes. Illusion still appears to cling to you, that you may reach them. Yet it has stepped back, and it is not illusion that you hear you speak of, that they hear you speak of, nor illusion that you bring their eyes to look on and their minds to grasp. Nor can the truth, which walks ahead of you, speak to them through illusions, for the road leads past illusions now, while on the way you call to them, that they may follow you.
So you know what we're talking about. This is a spiritual discussion now. This is another level, not the physical level, that has dawned on your mind. You will have to trust this other, it's called vision in A Course in Miracles. You would trust that vision, now you can be truly helpful because you have accomplished this sense of freedom somehow, some way. You've had some forgiveness and some holy instances. You started out with miracles and you took them to the bank and you let them go. You let go your stinking thinking with forgiveness. And then you had some holy instances again. And then your world began to get a little lighter, get a lighter sense of being. You now know, perhaps, hopefully, you found with the workbook lessons, you can do meditations that are guided by even a few words from this book that give you a lighter sense of being. That's why I like the word enlightenment. You can actually measure the sense of peace that comes deep in you, from deep in you. Yes, Tim.
Two quick points. You spoke of Jesus at the beginning of this session, and illusion must have still appeared to cling to him that he could reach out. Right? So the teacher has to speak the language that the students understand.
Yes.
Otherwise, what he says is useless to them.
Yes.
No matter how special the words may be, or true, or enlightening, if they don't understand the language, it's useless. You know, it's nice, indeed, but indeed, there it ends.
Yes.
So if indeed illusion clung to the teacher, you know, to Jesus, then we also must do the same. Let illusion appear to cling to us so that we can then teach, yes, those who still see illusion alone.
You bet. And Jesus now is this part of your mind that has dedicated itself entirely to the Holy Spirit or right thinking. That means that Jesus is no longer bound by time. So the illusion still clings to him, but not like it does to us. Doesn't get hungry anymore.
Yeah.
Doesn't get sad anymore. Doesn't get angry anymore. Doesn't have the seeming screaming aches and pains of a body that you deal with as you basically go back to sleep. to deal with your pains. If you stubbed your toe or you get a bee sting or you've got sciatica or a kidney stone or, you know what I mean? The body has a way, because of your deep devotion to it, to scream. And you put your Course in Miracles down and you go deal with it. That's simply because of where you are. You don't need to deny that. You just need to deny its truth. You do not need to deny its reality of any pain that you might have. But you do need to deny its truth. You need to look at what you've been denying. You need to look at the spiritual nature of things, because spiritual nature of things is the truth, not the material nature. Material nature is made up. You know, we're getting closer in science to be able to look under the hood. We're looking closer and closer between the atoms, and there's nothing there. And in fact, all the science of Newtonian physics that we've been developing for a long time, the scientists now have been meeting for over 10 years to have these very special meetings about what's called quantum physics, where the rules don't apply.
They do not.
We're getting equipment and Einstein. We're applying some of the crazy thoughts that Einstein had way back in 1912 or so. And we're like, whoa, the guy was right. What? We're finding out that there's no such thing as an electron. Did you think there was? The closer they looked for an electron, just to give it a little more description, they found out that it seems to be more than one place at one time. They could prove it.
In fact, it's everywhere to a greater or lesser degree. That's all.
If it's not,
it's more likely to be found someplace than another. That's all.
That's right. And anywhere where it's not likely to be everywhere, it's not likely to be at all. So it's crazy talk. But this is the kind of stuff that now we're looking under the hood. So we're talking about a reality. As you move back to the truth, you have to start getting comfortable with not believing in this world as true. It's okay if you think this world is real. As I'm making a distinction here, Mickey Mouse is a real cartoon, but cartoons are not true. They just don't actually exist. But it's a real cartoon. The movie.
In Buddhism, they would say it's not that nothing exists, it's that nothing exists the way you think it does.
Yes. 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 Luann.
My granddaughter and her boyfriend are both microbiologists at UCSC. And I was a biology major, so, you know, 15,000 years ago. So I don't know very much, but I follow it through a magazine called Science News. And so I try to tell them what I'm learning here and what you guys are talking about, and tell them that what they're doing is not real.
Oh, great. Yeah, I'll bet you that's a great conversation.
Work. they, you know, I can't convince them. There's no way I can convince them, so.
All right, Ross, give us paragraph 7. I'll unmute you.
All roads will lead to this one in the end.
I love the certainty of that. That's a beautiful sentence in your book. Please continue.
For sacrifice and deprivation are paths that lead nowhere, choices for defeat, and aims that will remain impossible. All this steps back as truth comes forth in you to lead your brothers from the ways of death and set them on the way to happiness. Their suffering is but illusion, yet they need a guide to lead them out of it. Or they mistake illusion for the truth.
This is such a perfect lesson for us. I'm so thankful that Timothy brought that up. Jacqueline, Kenny, do you feel like reading tonight? You want to give a whack at this next paragraph, Kenny?
Yeah.
Give us number 8.
Such is salvation's call and nothing more. It asks you, it asks that you accept the truth and let it go before you, lighting up the path of ransom for illusion. It is not a ransom, but a price. There is no cost, but only gain. Illusions can but seem to hold in chains the Holy Son of God. It is but from illusions he is saved. As they step back, he finds himself again.
Beautiful. Thank you. Thank you. Love it. That is powerful stuff. Jacqueline, I got your mute. Would you give us paragraph 9?
Walk safely now, yet certainly, because this path is new to you. And you may find that you are tempted still to walk ahead of truth and let illusions be your guide. Your holy brothers have been given you to follow in your footsteps as you walk with certainty of purpose to the truth. It goes before you now that there may, it goes before you now that they may see something with which they can identify, something they understand to lead the way.
Beautiful. Thank you. I just want to make a comment on that paragraph. You notice where it said, don't you get ahead of truth? Don't you get ahead of truth? This is hard. You really have to recognize that because you believe so deeply in time, part of you is not going to allow sudden a lightning bolt to come and just pop you out of this existence. Jesus knows this. You are way too drunk on being a separate body in time. However, Jesus is patient since he's out of time. He's in timelessness. So the truth is offered for you to help you walk out of gracefully walk out of this illusion of being a body. Another lesson says you will first dream of peace. Then you will think of peace. Then you will think more of peace, gradually to accept that it's possible before you actually feel the peace. How gentle, but how certain. Right from your core, you get shifted. And then you leave this world without fear, see? And you leave this world without fear. Believe me, we're so attached. We had an amazing accomplishment with these separate bodies. It's not a sin. It's fantastic. But it's also something you love. And the Course recognizes that. It says you love what you made. So it will not be taken from you. That would be harsh, wouldn't it? Take your favorite toy away. No, of course not. However, you must see that it is not true. That's much kinder. That's much more loving. And that's exactly what's happening. So, okay, let's continue. Yep.
I have to say today, I just felt like I'm like the holy incense or the understandings that come to me. But like I'm just an inchworm, and then making a little tiny bit of progress. It just seems so tiny. And then I thought, well, I'm a zillionth of an inchworm. Really? It could have really discouraged me, but I think it just brought some humility to me. But yeah, those times I think, oh, wow, that was really wonderful to understand that or see that. I don't know if I was making it smaller than it is, but it just seemed like I'm just a zillionth of an inchworm making progress.
I want to remind you that when you're in a dark room, really dark, one little candle, I don't care how far away it is, it might be a half a mile away, makes a big difference in whether or not you believe in light. Inchworm. That means darkness is no longer fully real for you, Jacqueline. It's a huge, you have made steps forward that are absolutely forward. It is only your ego that would try to measure those in significance. But I can certainly see from my perspective, that the advances that you have made is like letting you know that there is light and the darkness is no longer all there is. And it was all there is. Darkness was all there is, and it is no longer all there is. So everybody celebrate that. Also, I want to remind you that what happens to an inchworm? What happens eventually in the inchworm's cycle? It's crawling along. It's eating. It's like, yeah, hoity-do, hoity-do. You know what? I'm just going to curl up and go to sleep for a while. And it dissolves entirely in this cocoon. It loses every aspect of worm. And it breaks out with wings and flies away from that same spot. Never to be a worm again. Yeah, inchworm, you're looking pretty good to me.
There's something about that last paragraph that was very soothing. It felt like, okay.
From what which one was that? Did I cut somebody off who was reading?
No, we finished the paragraph.
Which one was it? 8?
No, it was 9, I think.
Yes, beautiful. Jason, you want to read number 10 for us?
I don't have the page number, I'm sorry.
Sure, sure. Page 292 in the workbook. 292 in the workbook. I'm going to have you read number 11. I'm going to give, but so you'll be ready by the time we get there. And I think we're up to Deborah. No. Did we start it around again? Ross, do you just read? I'm sorry, I completely forgot who read.
You know, Bye.
Number 11.
Give me number 10, Ross.
Yet at the journey's ending, there will be no gap, no distance between truth and you, and all illusions walking in the way you travel will be gone from you as well. With nothing left to keep the truth apart from God's completion, holy as himself, step back in faith and let truth lead the way. You know not where you go, but one who knows goes with you. Let him lead you with the rest.
Beautiful, beautiful. And so, Deborah? Yep.
For some reason, what came up for me was, it's in the introduction of the, I just looked it up, and it just says direct experience. And that's like one of the biggest phrases for me of the book is like, when people tell me, well, you don't know that's the truth. And I say, well, someday you don't believe me, go for direct experience. And that's the thing about this book is it says right in there, you know, that you can have direct experience of what they're talking about. And so this paragraph, again, brings that up. I mean, it's been coming up for me as we read these paragraphs, but this one especially brings it up again. Go for direct experience. Don't believe what's in the book. Throw the book away if you want and sit and meditate perhaps and go deep, deep, deep and find out for yourself if there is a holy instant. Because it'll appear. That's what the book says. When you remove the blocks, when you go deep in meditation, perhaps you can have the direct experience of what they're talking about. You can know that I am not a body, I am free, I am still, and as God created me. Anyway, that's what came up for me.
Thank you, Ross. It's how I see it as well. It's an invitation to direct experience. Reading it is not enough. Memorizing any words or all of the words is not enough. Because the ego can get a hold of that. But the direct experience of actually you slipping out of time during a meditation for an instant, where you have a lightness of being that you can't quite explain, maybe that's what it feels like. Maybe it's a sense of timelessness. Maybe that's what it feels like. Maybe it's a sense of not being localized for you, where you actually don't exist in any one spot. You can't quite find yourself. You can find everything else. In fact, you're really good at it. But the one thing you can't find exactly locate with an XY coordinate is you. Maybe that's what it looks like. Maybe that's your door through which you step out of the linear. Maybe it's a sense of compassion for another, for you. You know, for you. Your path may be this one of love, where you actually find that there is a drive in you when you look at another, that to actually care and see through the other's eyes is more important than seeing through your own. Have you ever had that experience? That could be your door out of yourself. And many, many other possibilities. They're all miracles or shifts in perception. Yes, Ross.
So the other thing that just came up for me is, you know, it says also in the Course that, you know, once you've read this book once, you realize that the defenses you're putting up against the truth are delays. And for me, I'll speak for myself, it just creates this sense of urgency, like, geez, I really, really got to get this done, because I know that the defenses I'm putting up against the truth are just causing me additional pain.
Yeah.
So I really, really need to just, you know, again, to use that allegory, jump off the cliff. I got all the signposts. I've read them a couple of times. So it's time. And it says that.
Yeah, it sure
realize
does.
Realize it is delay.
It sure does.
If you've read the book.
It sure does. And he even asks you during the workbook lessons, he's like, how long?
Right.
Holy brother, are you going to wait? How long?
I'll wait forever for you, but come on, buddy.
Other lessons, he says, hey, why not today?
Well, yeah.
He's just gently saying, you could, no pressure.
I'll wait.
You know, I'm out of time, so it doesn't matter to me. Yes, indeed. Indeed. Jason, are you ready for us?
Sure.
Okay, Jason, give us number 11, and Deborah, you'll do 12.
When dreams are over, time has closed the door on all the things that pass, and miracles are purposeless.
Miracles are purposeless.
The Holy Son of God will make no journeys. There will be no wish to be illusion rather than the truth. There will be no, and we step forth toward this as we progress along the way that truth points out to us. This is our final journey, which we make for everyone. We must not lose our way, for as truth goes before us, so it goes before our brothers who will follow us.
That is a very, very high-reaching paragraph. It's actually beyond what we need to learn. It's really, really, what a gift. What a gift that you are taking even there. Okay, Deborah, give us 12.
We walk to God. Pause and reflect on this. Could any way be holier or more deserving of your effort, of your love, and of your full intent? What way could give you more than everything, or offer less and still content the Holy Son of God?
Mm-hmm.
We walk to God. The truth that walks before us now is one with him and leads us to where he has always been. What way but this could be a path that you would choose instead?
Well, if you are the Holy Son of God and you're awakening to that, no path. But God, no path but completing the circle, regaining knowledge of your source and what you actually are. Albert, would you give us the next paragraph, please? I got your mute.
Your feet are safely set upon the road that leads the world to God. Look not to ways that seem to lead you elsewhere. Dreams are not a worthy guide for you, who are God's son. Forget not he has placed his hand in yours and given you your brothers in his trust, that you are worthy of his trust in you. He cannot be deceived.
Albert, would you read that sentence again just for emphasis? And everybody look at the circle being painted here. The metaphysical circle of what you actually are coming to fruition. Albert, please read that sentence again.
And number four?
Yes.
Forget not he has placed his hand in yours and given you your brothers in his trust, that you are worthy of his trust in you.
Beautiful circle. This you are doing. His hand is in your hand. Your thoughts are joining now as you do A Course in Miracles and as you look for a holy instant, as you look for a joining rather than separation. Your very thoughts now are making the chain to lead back to freedom for all minds. Even your little inchworm thoughts are critical, is your hand is now in the hand of a guide who knows the way. So take faith in those little steps. Take faith. Please continue.
He cannot be deceived. His trust has made your pathway certain and your goal secure. You will not fail your brothers nor yourself. And that self is capitalized, which means your spiritual self.
Yes. The one, the awareness to which you would return. Yes. Don, I got your mute. Would you read for us the last paragraph, number 14?
Yes, thank you. And now he asks but that you think of him a while each day, that he may speak to you and tell you of his love, remind you how great his trust, how limitless his love. In your name and his own, which are the same, we practice gladly with this thought today. I will step back and let him lead the way, for I would walk along the road to him.
Beautiful. Thank you.
Thank you.
So, by the way, you were given your actual name here if you were reading closely.
I was.
Well done. Okay, back to tonight's reading, please, on page 473 in the text. Page 473 in the text, front of the book.
Andrew?
Yes.
Back on paragraph 13.
Yes.
That number four sentence. I understand it, but I can't tell you what it says, but I understand it.
What does it feel like?
Well, God is love, so I'm love.
Yeah.
Okay.
You come from love. As love, because love extends, not project, but extension of love. God is love. You're from God. God extends himself as you. So you come from love as love. But it's not over. The journey is not finished with that because you are alive. You, it says, are an extension of God as a co-creator. So you come from love, you come as love, and here's the kicker, you come for love. That's what you're doing. That is exactly what you're doing. And it never ceases. You've gone into this elaborate dream of separation where you've tried to block love. Don't worry, love is not blocked. Because you come from love, you come as love, and you come for love. Never stopping. Good, Kenny. That is the message. That is the message.
Thank you. A project doesn't turn out the way you thought it was going to be.
Mm-hmm.
But it's okay.
It's okay. It is a step in the path toward love, continuing to be exercised. if you look for the shadows, you'll see them, but you're missing the object that's actually facing the light. Accept the project just the way it is, and continue with the energy of love to continue if that still interests you. Always, always looking for the light. Yeah, good, good, good. Okay, 473. All right.
I'm sorry, chapter again?
Oh, yeah, you bet. It's chapter 22, section 2.
Can I ask a question?
Yes, please.
In the last little part, right after 14, or within 14, it says, I will step back and let him lead the way, for I would walk along the road to him. And it feels like I ought to say, with him.
Yeah. With him in my mind. But you will step back with him leading the way. See, you must not lead truth, and you must not think that you have the truth. Let me remind you what it says on 298, paragraph 7. We don't have time to go there, but I'll remind you because you'll remember when I tell you. It says you cannot be your guide to miracles because it's you who made them necessary. So there is a time when you have to get humble. And you walk with Jesus, but you walk letting truth lead your way.
Yeah. Just
hand in hand.
I have to add with him because I'm already letting him lead me. So I'm not just doing this by myself.
You're so close. You're hand in hand. It's not like, you know, like, not, yeah, you, yes, but you're with him. Absolutely right. Who walks with you? The truth walks with you now. Very good, Luann. Hand in hand. But just for a little while, you have to respect you have an older brother who is reaching for you, offering a hand, and you must reach back an equal distance. It's humility. And then you will surpass Jesus. But first, you must catch up.
He said, reach out and for him. And it feels to me like I have to reach within for him.
True.
That's where I find him most of the time.
That's true.
I find evidence of him outside of myself, but
yeah,
to reach for him, I have to go within.
The whole thing is an inside job. Yeah. The analogy falls apart if you start thinking about something else. Very good. Stay true to that, Luann, for sure. Good, good, good. Okay. I think we made it now to Tim. Tim, I got your mute. Would you go and would you read for us the next paragraph on page 473, number 9? Number 9. Let us look closer at the whole illusion.
Yeah. Let us look closer at the whole illusion that what you made has power to enslave its maker. This is the same belief that caused the separation. It is the meaningless idea that thoughts can leave the thinker's mind, be different from it, and in opposition to it. If this were true, thoughts would not be the mind's extensions, but its enemies. And here we see again another form of the same fundamental illusion we have seen many times before. Only if it were possible the Son of God could leave his Father's mind, make himself different, and oppose his will, would it be possible that the self he made and all it made should be his master.
Well done. That's a hard sentence to read, and you nailed it. That's right. You'd have to get yourself twisted. To get everything backwards. What he's saying, the power of mind is now, it's in your hands now, your hands to free yourself. Let me remind you, hold your finger here. We're coming right back. Tim, you'll just listen in because we're running a little short on time. Everybody zip to page 97. Zip to page 97 and look how stark the instructions are. How obvious it seems in the beginning of this book of what we're doing And we're not really yet ready to understand, but when you read this a second time, a sentence like this will just blow your mind. Paragraph six on page 97. It's chapter 6, section 2. I just want to read you that first sentence. How else can you find joy in a joyless place except by realizing that you are not there in that joyless place? That is one thought, folks. That doesn't take time. That calls for a miracle. It calls for a touch of forgiveness, but it is a holy instant that follows. When you recognize that you are actually not possibly in a joyless place. And when you get still, really still, you will find your freedom from whatever pain or whatever worries you have. They only exist in time. They only exist in time. Give yourself this break, especially if you're in pain tonight or you have something that you've been worrying about. You don't need the solution as much as you need to find out that you're free, even during this time. Go still, become present, and step out of the joyless place. You're not there. And take a breath. And then dig back in if you really must. Ah, it's a beautiful paragraph, by the way, the whole thing. But let's get back to work on page 473. Back, we can continue. We're doing so well. We've covered so well. Jason, I got your mute. Would you read for us paragraph 10?
Just a second, please.
He's gonna go back. It's page 473. He's going to go back and use this word projection. Projection means that you're going to move something from point A out to point B and witness it out at point B. Disconnecting cause and effect. How perverse. Jason, please go for it. Number 10.
I'm sorry. Behold the great projection, but look on it with the decision that it must be healed and not with fear. Nothing you made has any power over you, unless you still would be apart from your Creator and with a will opposed to His. For only if you would believe His Son could be His enemy, does it seem possible that what you made is yours. You would condemn His joy to misery and make Him different. And all the misery you made has been your own. Are you not glad to learn it is not true? Is it not welcome news to hear? Not one of the illusions that you made replaced the truth.
You really are free? Not one illusion you made, no matter how elaborate, replaced the truth. You are safe at home. You travel, but in dreams. Just hold that for an instant and step out of time. And you are guaranteed a little freedom, a little holy instant. There's more, though. There's more. Jacqueline, would you read for us number 11? I got you mute.
Only your thoughts have been impossible. Salvation cannot be. It is impossible to look upon your Savior as your enemy and recognize Him. Yet it is possible to recognize Him for what He is, if God would have it so. But God has given to your holy ship is there. For what He gave Spirit to give to you, He gave. Would you not look upon the Savior that has been given you? And would you not exchange in gratitude the function of an executioner you gave Him for the one He has in truth? Receive of Him what God has given Him for you, not what you tried to give yourself.
This is A Course in Miracles metaphysics where the chief block to your awareness of love's presence is somebody you think that's not loving, or you think that's not deserving of love. The ego's cleverly crafted other people, I call them your assholey brother, where your ego's filtering it into negativity. That's a specific block of course says, you know what, you're way ahead if you can see behind the ugliness. Your brother's ego is always wrong, but he is always right. It is metaphysics of A Course in Miracles. Hold your finger here. It's time to read one paragraph from page 142. In fact, Jacqueline, why don't you read that paragraph for us, because you just read the previous one, making the same point, really. It's a redundant paragraph in a way, but it's really pointed. 142, paragraph 4. It's chapter 8, paragraph, chapter 8, section 4, section 3, paragraph 4.
When you meet anyone, remember it is a holy encounter. As you see him, you will see yourself. As you treat him, you will treat yourself. As you think of him, you will think of yourself.
See how important it is to watch your thoughts? You do not have idle thoughts, folks. Not waking, not sleeping, not goofing around. You do not have idle thoughts. You can joke, okay? Once you get your mind straight, you can joke, you can blend in, you can not be strange at parties or at the bedside of a dead one and it's time to grieve properly. However, don't believe it's true. Joy is and love is all the time. Sorrow is okay if you're feeling sorrow, but you can't believe the sorrow is a true loss. Your Holy Spirit will walk you through this. It's okay if tears flow. Real tears flow, but not true tears. Do you see the difference? You must separate yourself from the events of the body. Therein lies your freedom. Therein lies a peace that will exude from you. In a dark room, you will be the light. Please continue.
Never forget this, for in him you will find yourself or lose yourself. Whenever two sons of God meet, they are given another chance at salvation. Do not leave anyone without giving salvation to him and receiving it yourself. For I am always there with you in remembrance of you.
Of you. You will not be left comfortless. Now that your hand is in the hand of Jesus, you will not be left comfortless. Thank you, Jacqueline. Well done. God, that is such a beautiful paragraph. Oh, let's get number 12 while we're on a roll. Deborah, would you read for us number 12?
Tell me the page again. I got lost.
Sure, sure. Now we're on page 474. We're in chapter 22, section 2.
Okay.
Paragraph 12.
Beyond the body that you interposed between you and your brother, and shining in the golden light that reaches it from the bright, endless circle that extends forever, is your holy relationship, beloved of God himself.
That sentence is a poem and a prayer answered. What is going on here? Read it again for us, Deborah. This is a holy message.
Beyond the body that you interposed between you and your brother, and shining in the golden light that reaches it from the bright, endless circle that extends forever, is your holy relationship, beloved of God himself. How still it rests in time and yet beyond, immortal yet on earth. How great the power that lies in it. Time waits upon its will, and earth will be as it would have it be.
Now, what we're talking about is essentially understanding of the truth. The light that is both in you and in your brother, even if you don't speak to them anymore because you got a divorce and it was ugly. As you see your brother, you see yourself. So you're called to awaken from differences and now see the sameness. And that's what she's reading to us. Beautiful. It says, how still it rests in time. And we know that time's an illusion, right? It's not what it appears to be, right? In time, and yet beyond time. It means we have to go spiritual. We have to go eternal. We have to go to a nature of things that's not seen by your eyes. Immortal, something that's not living, yet on earth where everything dies. You see, he is hinting, he's asking you to move to vision, to the divine nature that's behind all appearances. It takes a miracle, but that's exactly what you came for. All you have to be is open to this possibility, and then you ask to see them. Okay, please continue.
Where I think I was.
That will be good enough.
Time waits upon its will, and earth will be as it would have it be. Here is no separate will, nor the desire that anything be separate. Its will has no exceptions, and what it wills is true. Every illusion brought to its forgiveness is gently overlooked and disappears. For at its center, Christ has been reborn to light his home with vision that overlooks the world. Would you not have this holy home be yours as well? No misery is here, but only joy.
And please read the first three words only of this paragraph you just read.
Beyond the body.
Beyond the body. It's calling for a miracle that you're fully capable of doing. And the big clue is beyond the body. You have to use vision. Only your body's eyes can only see the body. Your mind can go beyond the body. But that's where the freedom is. You do this meditation. It's very personal. You know, these are all just pointers here. This whole book at this point, these lessons and everything I'm saying is just a pointer that you would be open your mind. And then you will contribute. You, with your Holy Spirit and your mind, becomes now a messenger of God, and you become the light of the world. As you look at your problems, using your own perspective, and you say, show me the light in this situation. And now you expect the lightness of being to occur beyond the body, folks. Don't expect the world to change, but you will change your mind about the world. A little shift occurs. And then you decide not to hold the grudge, maybe, or the worry. Maybe you had a worry. It disappears. And you find yourself a little freer, a little lighter. Breathe that in as a holy instant. This is how you take steps forward in your awakening, and you step away from the body, just like that. Step one, miracle, shift in perception. Step two, forgiveness. Stop thinking these dark thoughts. Step three, celebrate. Celebrate your freedom. Take a moment. Take a moment to breathe what I call spiritual air. And then you will experience a lightness of being that is a spiritual awakening. Nobody can take it away from you. Yes, Ross.
Steps once again. Just those steps, those three steps.
First, a shift in perception, a miracle, where you ask to have the situation translated from darkness to light in some way or another, from material to spiritual, from fearful to a call for love. That's a miracle, the shift in perception. Then once you've got that, now step two, forgiveness. Deny your old pattern thoughts, the negative thoughts, the dark thoughts that were habitual when this situation is thought of, because they're no longer merited. The miracle has set you free of them. The miracle shows that you were misperceiving. There really is light there. You've just been looking at the dark edge, the dark shadows behind it. So step two is that forgiveness. You let go of the stinking thinking. And then step three, take a breath. Take a breath and celebrate your freedom. Take a breath of spiritual air. That's A Course in Miracles. Miracle, forgiveness, holy instant. Thank you, Don. Ask again any time and every time. Did you finish, Deborah?
I think Ross maybe had his hand up or something.
Oh, Ross, do you want to say?
Well, I sure feel that sense of urgency I was talking about here. I mean, you know, would you not have this holy home be yours as well? What are you waiting for? I mean, it's pretty, wow, urgent. Like, dang, no misery is here, only joy. Do you want it?
You're preferring misery? Is that what you want? Is more misery? Are you kidding me?
Come on, you know, just, there's, you know, his, there's no, where is it? Here is no separate will, the desire that anything be separate. Get on with it, you know?
Get on with it.
Oneness can have joy. Would you not have this holy home be yours as well? I mean, waiting for something?
Remember, as we started this night,
I'm sort of urgent.
You bet. I think that's it, Ross. That's the lesson tonight. Is as we started it, it's the truth is waiting for you, but time you made, and so when is up to you, because you're the one who's actually weaving the time story in your mind. You would have to find some way to step out of the time interval. Kind of like being still for an instant. A miracle, one of the things it can do is help you step out of time. Time seems inevitable, which is a prison. Inevitability is a prison. It's not free. So for you to say, I call on the Holy Spirit to help me step out of time right now. But now means now. Not over 3 seconds or 5 minutes or tomorrow. Really now. If you reach your hand out toward the Holy Spirit and Jesus, looking for, I will take now, now. And you really mean now. That's in between your thoughts. You might find yourself dropping out of time for an instant. Don't expect to witness it because you're out of time. Don't expect your ego to tell a story because that would be in time. Do you see what I'm talking about? Yet you will come back with a sense of lightness of being. And this you'll keep forever. It's like one more feather in your wings on your way to being the angel that's hiding in there underneath that. Okay, did we run out of time? Well, we have time to do one last paragraph. Let's go for it, because it all ties together. 13 is a wonderful paragraph. Let's see, where did we are? I think Deborah read, so that would be Albert. Albert, would you read for us paragraph 13?
Okay. Well, wait a second. Somehow I got lost here.
Okay. We're on 474.
I mean, the screen just changed for some reason.
Oh, okay. Well, click on the upper right for view. And then gallery.
Skip it. I'll just listen. I can't. Go ahead and skip it. I'll give it to somebody else.
All right. In that case.
Let's join the conversation.
Let's go for Don. Don, I got your mute. And would you give us beautiful paragraph 13 to close the meeting? Here it comes!
All you need do to dwell in quiet here with Christ is share his vision. Quickly and gladly is his vision given anyone who is but willing to see his brother sinless. And no one can remain beyond this willingness. If you would be released entirely from all effects of sin. Let me read that sentence again. Mm-hmm. And no one can remain beyond this willingness if you would be released entirely from all effects of sin.
I'm hearing Ross in my ear now, urgently. I think I should be released from all effects of sin. Yeah, I would be, and I would do it today. That's right. Please continue.
Would you have partial forgiveness for yourself? Can you reach heaven while a single sin still tempts you to remain in misery? Heaven is the home of perfect purity.
Perfect purity.
And God created it for you. Look on your holy brother, sinless as yourself, and let him lead you there.
Lowercase him leads you there, not capital H, him. This person you thought you had a problem with, when you see their innocence, even though they can't see it for themselves and they don't care your opinion, but when you see their innocence, they will lead you back to the innocence of everything and walk through that door, walk into your freedom, touch eternity, become once again the dreamer of the dream, even for a moment. Thank you for studying A Course in Miracles with me. Wonderful contributions by everybody.
Thank you.
Let's do it again next week.
Bye, everybody.
Thanks, everybody. It's a good thing that we do.